You know our slogan around here is better practice, better life. But we're taking this belief to the next level. And we've recently announced the creation of a new association. It's called the Best Practices Association. Our association celebrates the mindset that is better practice, better life. This mindset celebrates time, healthy living, personal growth, clinical excellence, and impacting the lives of your patients and your team through intentional leadership. In fact, we are the work-life balance experts in dentistry. The BPA will coach independent dental practices like yours to thrive by sharing best practices and operational habits, behaviors, systems, tools, and insight that lead to profitability and sustained growth, and you can still have a life. So if you're a dentist that wants to surround yourself with great thinkers, let us help you create your own version of better practice, better life. Go to actdental.com/BPA or hit the link in the show notes.
Hey guys, you're watching the Best Practices Show, where we take a look at the best business practices from the best dental practices all across the country. And I got a very special show today because a lot of young dentists look at purchasing a practice, but one of the questions they have is, how do I purchase this practice and how do I make it my own? So I've got my good friend, Dr. Eddie Morales, who's just done it, to show us how he did it and some of the things he's learning. So do me a favor, grab a pen and hit the share button. We'll see you in a second.
The Best Practices Show with Kirk Behrendt is brought to you exclusively by ACT Dental, the ultimate provider of dental practice management solutions for dentists and their teams. ACT Dental is committed to helping you build a better practice and a better life. If you're looking to grow your production, motivate your team, get back on track, and create the practice you've always dreamed about, look no further. Give us a call at 800-851-8186 or visit us at actdental.com.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Best Practices Show. We are having so much fun doing this, and so thank you for watching. And today is a really special show because I've got one of our clients that we coach, good friend of ours, and an amazing young man who's just done some great things, and you'll hear about him in just a second. A couple show notes. If you're watching this, we are shooting this live on Facebook. So as you have comments that come up, please ask the questions during the show, or if you're watching it later on, feel free to add comments or questions, and we'll make sure that we answer as many of them as we possibly can, because we want you to get some really, really good stuff out of this. And then also, we're so grateful people are asking questions, because I think questions are the answer to anything. Great questions. We have what's called Gratitude Monday. So we're giving away a free Apple iWatch with two tickets to activate for the best question asked any week on any post. So ask some tough ones, because Eddie's got good answers for this. So I'm going to do my little intro on Eddie, because I love this kid, and you'll see why here in just a second. I've been heavily involved in the Seattle Study Club. As you guys probably already know, it's an incredibly important part of our lives and our professional journeys. And you see great clinicians. And there was a dentist by the name of Konstantin Stamatolakis, a periodontist in Milwaukee. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant periodontist. And I've known him for so many years. And he was looking, you know, to transition and to embrace the next chapter of his life and for somebody to buy his practice. And I knew whoever was going to be able to do that had to be a special person. And that's exactly what happened. And it wasn't without its, you know, details that all had to be figured out. And when Eddie came in, he had to learn how to become his own, you know, to create his own practice, create his own vision for this. And that's not always easy to do. So I've got my good friend Eddie Morales on. Eddie, thank you so much for being on, buddy.
Thanks, Kirk. It's fun.
All right. All right. We're going to have even more fun here as we get going. Now, I want you to tell people a little bit about your story and who you are. You're a periodontist here in the great city of Milwaukee, and you run the Seattle Study Club here too. True?
That's right. So I am originally from Tennessee, or grew up in Tennessee anyways. I moved there when I was like 5. My parents were in the restaurant business, and grew up around that. Went to college in the Midwest, so Notre Dame, and then ended up really loving the Midwest. Go Irish. After that, I came over to Milwaukee and went to Marquette. And after that, went over, made the trek to Rochester, Minnesota to do my residency at Mayo Clinic. And really, when I was looking for a practice, I was only looking in the Midwest. And so looked in Chicago, looked in Milwaukee, looked in Madison, those areas. When I was at Marquette, I fell in love with Milwaukee. And so met up with Constantine. We talked and it ended up working really, really nice. It was a great dream come true, really, because this practice is so well known in Milwaukee. It was a high-end practice. It was perfect. So I ended up staying here for the long haul.
Yeah, for the long haul. So, and then after the details of the purchase, and you guys knew that this was going to be the game plan, take us through that, because I told you, as well as Constantine knew, you know, Eddie's going to have to come in and be his own dentist. He's going to have to be his own leader, his own specialist. He's going to have his own Seattle Study Club. What were some of the good things and then maybe challenging things you had to figure out? Because you guys did have a transitional period where you were working together, correct?
Yeah, we did. So we both worked together for about two and a half years. And the really nice thing about that was that coming straight from residency, even though Mayo was very heavily clinically based, you know, it was essentially a private practice within Mayo Clinic where we got referrals from the general dentists in town. So I was able to get my speed up somewhat. But the nice thing about it is that you didn't have to come into a practice and work by yourself and have to produce and worry about paying the bills and all of that. So I had Constantine there. He served as an awesome mentor. You know, being with the Seattle Study Club, he really taught me and everything he knew about interdisciplinary care and treating patients comprehensively. So that was a huge, huge benefit. The other thing about that was that the business side of it, I knew nothing about. So it was really nice to kind of pick his brain about what to look for, what metrics to look at, things like that, you know, that I really had no knowledge about. So that was awesome. The tough thing working together was that we both have different styles. And so it was a little bit harder for the team, I think, because I being new, was trying to be really nice and try to get to know everyone, just, you know, getting my feet wet. Whereas Constantine had been there for a while. He knew all the systems. He knew what the expectations were of the team. And if they weren't, if they were slacking off for whatever reason, you know, he was able to stop whatever habits, you know, might have been hurtful for me to get to see. And so it kind of put me in a tough situation because I was trying to be nice to everyone. And he was still trying to run a successful practice and an efficient practice. Mm-hmm. So that was a little tough.
So did you have a little good cop, bad cop going on there?
It was. Yeah, it's exactly what it was. It was, you know, you either went to mom or dad, and that was the nice one. I was a good cop and he was sometimes the bad cop. Mm-hmm. But it was good to see that side of it as well, you know, to see what you had to do to be effective and run a really good practice. So it was tough at times for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. And when did you realize, what were some of the turning points that you said, hey, look, I've got to start leading, you know, cause we joke about this. The essence of how successful any dental practice is, it comes back to one primary theme. It's leadership, you know? So there were some light bulbs that went on for you that you said, hey, look, I got to start leading. And when did those go on for you?
Right about 3/4 of the year before he was done. So maybe we probably worked for about a year and a half. And then right about that mark, I was like, all right, I've got to start doing some things and ramping up what I'm doing. And so anytime we had any new team members come on board, because during that time, there was a little bit of transition, you know, some people that didn't want to deal with it. It was tough on some team members. You know, I was kind of put into the position where I was interviewing, I was going through that whole process, learning that on the go as well. And he was really gracious. You know, he's like, you know what, you need to do this. I think it's good. He kind of gave me some pointers and say, this is what you need to focus on. This is kind of what you need to look for. And then I kind of put my spin on it as well. But it was about that time. And then as soon as it was a clean break, it was, you know, you like had to, otherwise you're gonna drown. So that was really like the major turning point. You know, we kind of transitioned it where I just rode on his coattails for a little while and then kind of got my feet wet a little bit. And then as soon as he was out of the practice, it was like, all right, it's go time.
Mm-hmm. So speaking of go time, was it one of those days, because you currently do team meetings and morning huddles, you know, you're pretty disciplined with that, which is great. And was it the first like Monday after you're like, okay, so go time, I guess. You know, was it kind of like that or was it not?
It kind of was in a sense, you know, because then Constantine wasn't there anymore, you know? So you're like, oh, you know, crap, this is it. You know, I've got to make this work. The nice thing about our longer transition period was that he was able to mentor me into that, which really was super helpful. It wasn't as big a shock, I think, as if you bought a practice and it was a completely clean break, you know? And then, as you mentioned before, I am an ACT client, and that's really, you know, when Jerry came in as our coach, he's like, all right, you know, this is what you need to start doing. I'm like, holy crap, I've been doing this the wrong way for a little while now, you know? And so that really helped for sure.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Now, I want to speak about this too, because clinically there's some calibration because Constantine, amazing human being, amazing leader, amazing clinician, you know, and you being a young clinician, you're very gracious with yourself and patient. You know, and you just said, I'm not Constantine. I'm going to continuously grow myself. And one of the things that Jerry said to you even before this call, she's like, you know, I love Eddie has fully embraced the fact that he needs to grow. Like he puts his, you know, he's one of those kids. It's like, I got to grow in order for it to grow and for me to grow and for everything to be better. So what was the clinical calibrations, especially being a periodontist and having so many incredible referral sources that you've just increased the nurturing since you've come aboard?
Right. So initially when I came on board, I would go out and do lunch and learns and, because Constantine and I did a lot of different things. You know, he loved doing implants and was amazing at placing implants and restoring them, not restoring them, but placing them and doing those big interdisciplinary cases. And I love soft tissue grafts. And so within the team, as well as in our referral base, I had to go out and teach them what I looked for when I'm diagnosing if someone, you know, has recession or recession that can even be treated and looking at the prognosis for treatment. And so I did a lot of lunch and learns with doctors that were referring. And that's actually something that we're going to get back into. Laura, who, as you know, is our coordinator and she's the director of practice development. She's the one that's kind of spearheading that now. So she'll get calls from doctors and ask, you know, or hygienists from other practices asking, like, what do you do in this case? When are you doing this kind of thing? And so she's starting to book me lunch and learns, which I love. I love teaching. And I teach Thursday afternoons at Marquette. So once a week, I'm there, which is fun. But we had to do the same thing with, you know, with the clinical team as well. It was a little bit easier and a little bit harder within the practice because we had the turnover that we did. Mm-hmm. So I had to do some of the training there. And so that was a little bit easier for me to do instead of teaching the old guard their new things. We still have people that hung around and they're awesome employees, which is great. But at the same time, we've had some newer hygienists, one of which was a practitioner in another periodontal practice in town. He passed away. And so she ended up luckily coming to our practice, which is great. But we continue to have these treatment planning sessions or treatment calibration sessions as part of our 2-hour meetings in the mornings. Mm-hmm. And we're going to do more of that because they love them. And so it's nice to bring up a case and just, you know, put a case up on the wall and say, okay, this is, you know, what do you guys see? Asking them that question. Mm-hmm. And then saying, all right, this is what I see. This is what I look for. You know, this is how we're treatment planning it. So that's really helpful. So I love teaching.
Yeah, because it's pretty eye-opening when you put up a case and you ask the question. You know, I had James Woodyard on a couple of weeks ago, and you guys are very alike in the way you think. And he says, sometimes you just got to pause, make sure we're looking at the same thing, and it'll blow you away when people tell you what they see. And you're like, oh my goodness, because it's very easy to go, this is the direction I would go. But when you engage the thinking part, you can now see the gap that we have, mm-hmm. and we can work together to close the gap. So now you do that with your team and then also with your referring sources too, correct?
Yeah, for sure. And we take a ton of photos, which is one of the things that Constantine really taught me. I mean, you take photos of everything, including your failures.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still, you know, every once in a while, I'll forget the camera when it's something that's not good, but we really try to take photos of everything. And so it's really nice to be able to show one to just for yourself, your own knowledge, go back and see what you did and see what didn't go well or see what did go well, right. But also, you know, calibrate with your own team and with referring doctors as well.
Yeah. Let's talk about the patients too in a specialty practice. What was that like? So, because these patients highly referred from long established relationships. Was that difficult? Was that easy? How was that?
Having that transition really helped. The thing that Constantine did that was really beneficial was that he took me to all the referring doctors and introduced me. And he's like, you know, Dazzetti, he's going to be taking over the practice. He's going to be seeing your patient. Mm-hmm. And sometimes he would ask, but most of the time he's like, you know, he's going to be the one that's going to be seeing them, which is awesome. Mm-hmm. And he did the same thing with patients. You know, we went in, we would go in together for hygiene exams, and he'd say, this is Dr. Morales. He's going to be taking care of you. I'm going to be retiring in the next few years. And I just wanted you guys to meet, and he's going to be doing your exams. And so we didn't have a lot of turnover. We didn't have that many patients that, you know, that didn't want to continue seeing me. And so that was really beneficial because he would explain that our practice philosophies were essentially very similar. I mean, we treatment plan in very much the same way. We have slightly different mannerisms with patients. He was more paternalistic, you know, so we have patients that are like, well, this is what he would tell me to do and I would do it. Where I like to give them more options, so to speak. You know, I'm like, well, this is what you need. You know, I'd be happy to help you whenever the time comes, whenever you're ready for it. Right. And maybe that'll change. I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah.
But that was something that really, really was beneficial. And so now that we have a lot of new doctors that are referring to me that never referred to the practice before, for whatever reason, and that didn't happen immediately after Constantine left. It's just something that's been building up mm-hmm. in the community, but they know what I like to do. They know how to treat patients, and it's worked out very nicely.
Yeah. And you, I will speak about your group. I mean, it grows. You've got a tremendous group. And now I'm biased, as I'm sure you are. The Seattle Study Club is an incredibly powerful gift. I mean, it's just a gift. It's a blessing. And I can imagine, I don't want to answer this question for you, but was it easier having a Seattle Study Club in this? Imagine being a periodontist coming in, purchasing practice and not having that as the gift that helps you really nurture these relationships. So how important was the club in that transition?
Oh God, super helpful. That's the one thing that I love about dentistry is that you continue to learn and you mm-hmm. continue to, you know, hone your skills and also, you know, build those relationships with people that you work with. And so, I mean, having the Seattle Study Club was amazing. Like I said, I love teaching. And I love learning, as most dental professionals do. And so having that group around you, just kind of rallying around you and, you know, you being the new guy, but kind of bringing you under their wing and teaching you everything that they know was super, super helpful. I mean, I honestly couldn't be as successful as we are and continue to grow as much as we have without that, I don't think.
Right.
So Constantine from the beginning, you know, said, this is going to be yours. You need to, you know, these are the guys that you're going to work with and that are going to teach you everything that I know. And that's absolutely true. And it continues. Yeah.
Well, and I can brag certainly about you and Constantine. A lot of times specialists start clubs or maintain clubs for the wrong reasons. And it's really just about one thing. It's about what do they get out of the process? And you do this so well. It's not about that. It's about how do we grow together? Even if you have GPs that decide to do something that, you know, you wouldn't necessarily agree with, it's, hey, we're still working together. And we're still growing together. Correct?
Absolutely. Certainly it's helping us have closer relationships with the people that refer to us, but it's so much more than that. I mean, one of the things that we're doing at our study club this year is, and nobody knows this yet, but is except for you, is redefining our vision and our mission, you know, because mm-hmm. we do have a lot of new members. And so I want them to know when I asked them to be members, certainly we talked about what the study club is all about and the culture of learning. But I want all the old members to rekindle that love for learning, you know. And so I think it'll be nice for us to sit down and go over our vision for the study club and the mission for the club as well.
That's awesome. Well, Leanne, we got some people chime in. Leanne says, Eddie, hi, guys. Love this. And then Rindler's on. He says, oh, nice. Eddie is an awesome guest. So, and good, Eric. Good. Yeah, Eric Rindler. So now I want to talk about this too. Not just the club, but also with patients. You're talking about your team. Tell us about more of what's happening currently within your practice and the things that you continue to do. So you do have your morning huddles. You're having those every single morning. And that's a great leadership opportunity. What happens in those for you as you transition to make this your own practice?
So that actually, that's probably going to change a little bit. So everything in the practice is so dynamic. It's insane. You talk about one system and you're like, yeah, we have this down, you know, a few hours later, you're like, oh, we need to tweak that. Let's talk about that on Monday. And so, as you know, we've taken a couple of hours out every week, every Monday morning from 7 to 9, which is generally my surgical time. I do surgeries in the morning to talk about things and change all of our systems in the practice. So we have our morning huddle every morning for about 20 minutes. So we talk about, you know, what patients are coming in. We've incorporated a few other things from ACT, from our systems, but we talk about what concerns we have with these patients and who's going to be seeing them and who's going to be doing prelims and doing the procedures and all of that. Or if there are any concerns, certainly if there are hygiene patients that just, you know, aren't very stable or need a little additional help, we'll talk about that beforehand to make sure that we're all on the same page as far as the next step or to, you know, to improve their health and make sure that inflammation isn't affecting them. But there are a few things that we're going to tweak there, not talking about necessarily the procedures themselves, but the flow of the office.
Mm-hmm.
And I know Constantine did that and that really helped him. And so we kind of went away from that for a little bit. So we're, like I said, we're starting to tweak that again and go over that. But Monday mornings, we have our 2-hour meetings where we talk about all of our systems and you know that more than anyone. I just finished a book, The Power of Habit, which is amazing. And so you realize that everything you do, all these systems that you put into place are to create those habits, right? And so that's what we're working on. We still continue to work on those. We're actually just changing our new patient intake system and we're completely revamping it, which is really exciting. That was something that Jerry and Chris talked to us about. And we actually tried it on Thursday for the first time with one of my assistants. She did the whole intake and it actually worked really nicely. It was a perfect handoff. It was awesome.
Yeah. What was your biggest learning in that? What was the one big learning on last Thursday?
Well, so what we do normally is we have someone from the business office or from the front desk team do the intake. So they go over the health history and there are multiple handoffs during this whole thing. So they will hand off to the assistant. So the patient, you know, goes into the treatment room with the assistant and then they take photos and everything before I come in. They come to me, they give me the health history, update me on what's going on and what the reason was for the referral, you know, give me some tidbits of information. And then I'll go in, introduce myself and then do the exam. And then, you know, the patient stays in there with the assistant or our business team and goes over whatever needs to be done or scheduled. So now the way we're going to do it is the assistant's going to start it off. They're going to do the health history with the patient in the treatment room. And then I will come in, I'll be briefed in front of the patients that we're all on the same page. It's more collaborative that way. And then if need to, then we'll hand it off to our business team who can kind of take it from there. So it's a lot more streamlined, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And it worked perfectly. I mean, Abby did an excellent job. I mean, her handoff, you know, she briefed me in front of the patient. I think the patient really likes that, you know, because they're a part of it. And if there's anything that they're missing that they know and they know that they're telling me all the information that the patient just told them, it's awesome. It's good to see how much we can grow, how much things change for the better.
Yeah. And it's cool because you're tweaking them around your strengths and weaknesses. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things in a specialty office like yours is the actual documentation becomes a challenge. And now you watch your team members grow. They take ownership of this. You start really getting to the things that you love to do. And you're not spending time on all the things that you might not be the best at, which is the story of my life. But it's really fun to watch you do this. And the thing is, it's the United States of America, which is so cool. You can make decisions.
Yeah.
And if they don't work, you can do what? You can switch it back, right?
Sweet. Change it around. Yeah.
Yeah. What are some other learning lessons that you've seen in purchasing practice and trying to make it your own that you would say to another young dentist who's contemplating purchasing a practice?
Honestly, you really need to work on yourself. And I didn't realize how much of an important aspect of running a practice was, I mean, there are so many things that I was so deficient in that I really need work on, right? As a leader, one of the things that I learned from you at our launch was it was better to be direct than nice, mm-hmm. right? So a lot of people, and I being one of them, would confuse being nice with kindness. And I realized that being nice to someone and not being upfront about what needed to change or what was happening was actually not kind in the end. You need to give someone direction and be direct and give feedback in the moment rather than tiptoeing around it. And I mean, it was selfish. It's a selfish thing to not say anything because you think you're going to hurt their feelings and you want to make yourself feel better, right?
Right.
The thing in my practice is that I want everyone to be very, very friendly. And that's just how I am. But at the same time, you have to make sure that you're being kind to your team and giving them the direction that you need there, that they need really from you. Otherwise they're in limbo and right. They're not happy either.
Yeah.
So that's one of the big things.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the biggest challenges I have. I do that all the time and continue to do that and remind myself, don't do that, which is be clear first. You know, it's not you're not mean. You'll never be mean, but what you need first is clarity. And you can be nice throughout the rest of the other things. What other lessons? Are there any other lessons or pitfalls that you would share with other young dentists that are looking to buy a practice or that have purchased a practice?
The other thing is be flexible. I mean, the thing about it is that you're always going to see things changing. Things are never going to work out the way that they're going to work out. But make that decision. Make whatever decision you're going to make. And just know that they need to work through it. My biggest issue is analysis paralysis also. Mm-hmm. And I tend to overthink things and think about them some more. You know, I sit there for days thinking about something where if everyone knows that everything is a work in progress, it'll be much easier to say, okay, this is how we're going to do things. It may not work out. There are going to be things that we need to change, but you just need to do it and know that it's always going to change.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I have to ask you this too, because this is a question I get a lot. You know, you being a young periodontist and doing it so well at this stage and you picking the segment of perio that you enjoy the most, I think that's what I'm so proud of you is that you've just chosen how you want to practice. What do you see as far as the future for you and the future of perio as a whole? Like what are some of the things that you see? And you're 33. So you've got a good three decades in front of you. What do you see?
It's just from a clinical standpoint. Well, everything's obviously going digital, right? Mm-hmm. So there are periodontists out there that, and me included, I think I'm going to be getting an intraoral scanner, right? So you're going to be printing surgical guides and things of that nature. But I'm seeing kind of a shift back to the old school style of perio. I mean,
really?
I think what's been happening is that implants, I think not everyone, of course, certainly not, but I think we were a little bit too early to remove teeth, right? And so teeth with class two or class two mobility were being removed without looking at the whole picture. And I mean, it makes you wonder if it were my tooth, I'd do everything in my power to try to save it, right? Because you don't know what's going to happen 10 or 15 years down the road.
Right.
And I certainly don't want to have an implant in my mouth for 60 years, right? And so that's been a shift in the practice. Like I said, Constantine was super talented in placing implants, but now my practice is probably 65% perio and soft tissue grafting and about 30% implants, maybe 35% implants. And so I'm seeing this paradigm shift back to using less implants or trying to save more teeth or doing other things that will prolong or at least delay implant placement. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I think with biologics and soft tissue grafting and hemisections and all this other stuff, we're going towards, or at least away from implants for the time being. I mean, it's going to be interesting what happens now or what comes in down the pipeline, but it's really exciting. It's an exciting time, to play with technology, certainly, but also with biologics. So, you know, biologic technology.
Yeah.
Awesome. It's really cool.
Yeah. It's pretty fascinating. What is happening here in the future. And I always give you guys credit because as the world shifts in dentistry and everybody chases the next bright, shiny object, it's amazing how it always comes back to just doing the right thing. And you guys are so well placed in that. Any other thoughts that you would have for young dentists. I just love this. I love asking you these questions. I know I'm kind of putting you on the spot, but again, as the ACT team, we're just so proud of you to watch what you've done in such a short period of time. You're just like our little brother that we're just so proud of. But, and you know, let me say this too. Also, you're, like I said earlier, you're always on the learning path. So you're just not one of those people that says, oh, I've totally figured this out. You're on the journey. You're on the process of getting better all the time.
That's exactly what I was just about to say. I mean, continue to be a lifelong learner. I mean, because that's really what's going to sustain you in your practice. And, you know, you can get into, like I said, I just finished that, but you can get into the habit of just doing the same thing over and over again, right? Whether it's a clinic from the clinical aspect or whether it's management or the business side of things. But the more things you read, the more it opens your eyes and the more you realize that what you're doing, you know, while it might be helpful or might work, might not be the best way of doing it. Mm-hmm. So I'd say continue to be a lifelong learner, teach others what you know. The difficult thing with working with a big group of dentists is that some dentists who are excellent and you want to work with, you know, may not refer to you because, you know, you're further away. And I can, you know, I can testify that we get patients from Port Washington that come down to see us and, you know, how many miles is that? It's probably like a 40-minute drive.
Right.
So if you teach others what you know, they'll see the value, not only the clinicians, but the patients, and they'll want to come to you. And there's nothing more satisfying than that, I think.
That's awesome, buddy. Well, we couldn't be happier for you. And I'm so grateful you're willing to be on the show today. You're like, yeah, I'll share what I know. I love it. So if people want to find you, how can we find you, Dr. Morales?
Then go to my website. It's premierperio.com. Or you can email me, em@premierperio.com. Be happy to talk or whatever.
Sounds
I'm on Facebook. I think we have a practice site, I believe.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. So stick around for just a second because I want to chat with you. But again, if you have questions, you're watching this and you're a young dentist and you might want to ask Eddie some questions privately, feel free to reach out to him or you can ask him in the feed. And we love your questions. So until we see you next time, keep watching the Best Practices Show. We are so grateful for you guys viewing. Hope you guys have a great weekend and we'll see you again on Monday. Thanks a lot.